The Rosie on the House Arizona Hour, driven by Sanderson Ford.
And welcome back to Rosie on the House. We're here with Lee DeVilbiss from Armor Canine and your partner, Artie Miller. Now, we've been talking dog obedience, dog character, but your company name, Armor Canine.
Yes.
Tell me about that.
Well, we really started off the business doing protection dogs, and that's where we really made our name in the dog world, if you will. And obedience came as a secondary, just because people were bringing dogs to us saying, we see what you do with your protection dogs. Can you help my dogs be half as good as that? And so we started offering more local obedience training. But Armor really was, the idea was, these are shields for you, the protection dogs are. And we have three different levels of protection dogs. And so our level one we call body armor. Our level two is suit of armor, and our level three is knight and shining armor. And so we kind of kept with the theme with the armor.
And so what is the difference between those levels?
A level one is a deterrent-only dog. That's a dog that's going to bark on command, and a dog that is not necessarily going to bite on command. We haven't taught it to bite officially, but it may or may not do that. What we know is that most would-be perpetrators, someone that wants to cause harm to you, that if a dog is looks capable, certain breeds, and has a high level of obedience, that's generally enough for them to go, I think I'll go try the guy next door, what have you. But in the face of, well, I think I'll test that dog, where they're greeted with a nice firm bark, that's oftentimes enough to at least stop them in their tracks and give you a moment to make some decisions, get some time and distance, and make wise decisions. Our level two dogs are bark and bite. Again, obedience at a high level on and off leash is with all of these these levels. But a level two is it's gonna bite on command and release on command as well. And in level three, we get into a little bit more. We do what we'd call a passive protection, which we put them in a watch command, and then they're free to make decisions based on what is transpiring.
And for somebody interested in a dog for protection, and this conversation kind of came out of our topic last month, home security. Mm-hmm. And we had our insurance specialist in, and he brought up the point of dogs, and some insurance companies are nervous about insuring homes, particularly with aggressive dogs. But then it just kind of brainstorming at the office, we said, well, how about if we call Lee, mm-hmm. you know, and get him in the conversation, finish talking about security. Are most of your clients in the level two or three, are they bringing you a dog and you're turning them into this? Or they're contacting you, I'd like a dog capable of three, and you're providing the breed and the training?
Yes, we rarely take someone's dog that they bring to us. It's just not a good business decision for us. On occasion, we will take one. Normally, it starts with an assessment. I've developed an assessment, and so we do assessment with the customer, figure out what their needs are, and then we go out and look for a dog that's going to fit. And really, what I'm looking for is how much drive I can get in a dog. So I need a certain level of drive, a desire. In the dog to do the work that we're asking. And so some people can handle real high, they're real active, and so that dog that's real high, and then there's other people that are very, you know, low key, not very active, and so then I really have to find a balance to find the right fit. But we go find the dog, present the dog to the owners. The owners can say yes or no. The only thing we ask is that it's not based on looks, because at the end of the day, we're finding the right tool for the job.
Now, RD, how much do you have to train this new dog owner?
Well, so there's a process. If they're wanting a protection dog, They're brought into the process because they obviously have to know how to handle the dog. We're not just going to hand over. I mean, that's like handing over a loaded gun and not knowing how to use it.
Yeah, exactly.
So different scenarios. You have to know what the dog's capable of putting in a situation. You know, you may just freeze.
We do. There's the part of the process we do is throughout our training, we ask the customers to come out and be involved. And in some cases, we'll bring the dog to them if necessary, so that they can bond and start developing that basic handler capability. And then when we deliver the dog, we usually schedule 7 to 10 days with the customer. And while we're out there, we're continually working on the bonding, working on the handling, and then we start working scenarios. We put them through scenarios. I, as a former firearm instructor, if you just go take a CCW class and you put your CCW card in your wallet and now you're a gunfighter, if you think that you're really mistaken. You really need to start training and do a lot more training. And so I use the same concept with the dog. I want to put people in scenarios so that they know how the dog's going to work and they start to see what that experience is like, and so they don't freeze up. And if they do freeze up, it'll be just momentarily, and then they're back in the game again. And so that's our big process. On
are most your clients in Arizona?
No, we do all over the world. We do have a few here in Arizona, but mostly it's abroad and within the United States and in world.
Wow. Now, what type of breeds for a protection? You're talking about the different, you know, your knight in shining armor. Is that a certain breed, or are there a couple breeds that are capable of that level of protection?
So, I mean, it doesn't have to,
we already know it's not a weenie dog.
Yeah, we like to use the Belgian Malinois, the Dutch Shepherds, German Shepherds. So it's, like we said before, you need the right tool for the job. Not every dog is cut for the job.
We recently started working with some Shepinois as well. That's a mix between a Shepherd and a Malinois. And we have a good line on those and have been pretty impressed with them as well.
Now, this video you've got posted on your Facebook where Kyra is like 45 seconds. You got a muzzle on her. How long are you going to be able to keep doing that?
Kyra is about a year and a half old. She's been coming just to my bike class on Thursdays that we have that in Prescott Valley. And we'll have one down in the Phoenix area fairly soon as well. And so that's a fellow trainer, local trainer from a big franchise that's in the town. And she brings her dog. And we've been working with it for about a solid year and maybe 3 months. And to the point where she said, I don't think Kyra would really protect me. And I said, oh, you're grossly mistaken. And so I told her about a month ago, I said, why don't you get yourself a muzzle, start working. She's used to the muzzle. And then we'll pick a day and we'll put her in a scenario and help her have success. And so the scenario was she said this to me, and I said, all right, do you have your muzzle with you? And she said, I do. And I said, go put it on and bring her out. And she did, and I had taken all my gear off, and I was in shorts and a shirt, and just standing there. And I said, send your dog. And she's like, well, you're not going to agitate? And I'm like, nope, send your dog. And she kind of was like, yeah, right. And so she gave her the command to bite, and you can see what happened in the video. She was doing exactly what she was supposed to do. A little bit of a frustration because she has a muzzle on. It's prevented her from actually biting me. But that's for my safety, thank God. But everything we taught that dog to do up to this point, she did and did it well. And that's usually my final stage for a finished dog is if they'll muzzle fight, we know that we got a good dog.
Well, you know, I can see putting a couple of these dogs on the ranch. To kind of be the doorbell and kind of be the deterrent, and then to kind of be the weapon if need be.
Yeah.
But could I take my grandkids to the ranch?
Absolutely. Our tagline for us is our dogs are companion first, protector second. I have Kai here. Kai, I could give her a command right now and she would single out whoever I told her to go bite. And she'd bite me as well.
Now, really? Gary's on the other side of the glass. Can we use this as a test since he's at least protected?
She'd have to chew through the wall to get there. It might take a while, and he might be gone.
And this dog's been sitting at your feet for this whole hour, and until you asked it to bark, it's hardly moved.
Yep.
This is a very pleasant dog to be around.
Oh, absolutely. And that's one of the things that we pride ourselves
it
on.
It wouldn't bite me.
Let's not test that.
Unless my legs smell like milk bone, he'll bite me. Yeah, I have a question, though, about wildlife, because you did a demonstration when he said, can I say rattlesnake without him going crazy? And he jumped right in your arms. But can they protect against pest wildlife like rattlesnakes, javelina?
That'll probably become more natural. We don't train that. Rattlesnake training, we teach avoidance. So they recognize the smell, sight, and sound, and then they avoid it to stay away from it. But, if a coyote came on your property, a javelina, most of the dogs are probably going to give chase to them and try to chase them off the property, would be my guess.
Now, how do you teach them boundaries? Because one of our dogs will chase them, but won't stop at the edge of the property. He may be 2 days later, he comes back.
Well, it depends on the dog. RD, you want to?
Yeah, so I have a place up in Sholo, and I'm on a few acres up there. And my kids they love to just run around wild, you know, play hide and seek. And my dogs, I've kind of just walked the property line several times with the dogs. And when they would start to go out of bounds, I just, you know, call them back. So with time, repetitions of doing that same thing, they just start to learn, okay, this is my boundary. This is my comfort zone. And they don't go past that boundary.
We probably ought to tell people how to get a hold of you if we've piqued their interest in maybe talking to you more about this concept. How would people get a hold of y'all?
Yeah, we would love to hear from people. You can call us at 928-493-4160. I'll give you the Phoenix number, 480-442-5174. Also can reach us on Facebook at Armor Canine, Instagram at Armor Canine, and then our website is armorcanine.com. That's armorknine.com.
And y'all have a number of different services you provide. You've got your obedience training. You do private training where you come to the homeowner's house. You do boarding training where you take them to your house. You do training for protection. And then next segment coming up, we're going to talk about the service dogs that y'all work on for vets and narcotics smelling. Here at Rosie on the House with Lee Divelbus and R.B. Miller.
R.D.
R.D. Miller from Armor Canine.